Well, this week, we are going to take a break from our thing on civil disobedience. I'm going to spend a week on gay rights, what the position, a Christian position should be on gay rights, and then we'll see what we do next week. There are two aspects to the whole homosexual issue. One is personal and private, and the next is legal. Right? In other words, what should your attitude be toward homosexuality at all? And then secondarily, if you determine that it's wrong, what should you do about it? All right, let's start with Leviticus 18:22. It says, "Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable." Okay, do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. The next verse is related. Do not have sexual relations with an animal and defile yourself with it. And a woman must not present herself to an animal to have sexual relations with it. That is a perversion. Okay? Now we're dealing with two things here. One is homosexuality, and the other is bestiality. One is homosexuality, and the other is bestiality. Now one thing is, let's turn over two chapters to chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 13. What is the penalty in the theocracy of Israel for this? It says, if a man lies with a man as one lies with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They must be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. Okay, so for homosexuality between men, you have the death penalty. In verse 15, it says, if a man has sexual relations with an animal, he must be put to death, and you must kill the animal. Okay, so bestiality, when a man is involved, involves the death penalty for both the man and the animal. And in verse 16, if a woman approaches an animal to have sexual relations with it, kill both the woman and the animal. They must be put to death. Their blood will be on their heads. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this is that lesbianism, homosexuality between women, is not addressed. And you don't have the death penalty for women homosexuals. You do have the death penalty for male homosexuals, and you do have the death penalty for bestiality, whether it's a man or a woman. Okay, that's just the facts. Now, there's a problem you're going to come up with. Not only we learn from this that homosexuality is a pattern of behavior that God frowns on. Okay, he's displeased with it. And in the country that he wrote the laws for, the death penalty went with it. All right, now, a lot of times, people who just aren't that familiar with the Old Testament will say things, but yeah, they were strict back then, but, you know, what would happen, you know, didn't Jesus change all that? You know, isn't there the death penalty for a lot of things in the Old Testament that we wouldn't have the death penalty for today? You know, and isn't that because of what Jesus did? Or they may say it's just because we've advanced, or they may say it's because of what Jesus taught us. Let's look at Mark, the Gospel of Mark. It's not on this issue of homosexuality, but it gives us a glimpse into Christ's attitude. Mark 7:5. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'Anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death.' But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever you help,'" and he goes on. Now Jesus is saying, God says this, and you say this. Word of God, traditions. Okay, you say that whatever help the parents would have received is Corban, that is devoted to God. You don't have to give it to your parents. But God says, honor your father and mother, and God says, by direct implication, if you curse your father or mother, you must be put to death. Okay, now, Jesus is quoting one of these laws that we would react against. In other words, we'd be embarrassed by the death penalty for cursing your father or mother. All right? And Jesus quotes it with approval and states it as the Word of God. All right, are you with me? Now, even though it's not the same issue, it gives us a glimpse into Jesus' attitude toward the Old Testament Scripture. He wasn't embarrassed by it at all, and he wasn't opposed to the death penalty, nor was he opposed to the death penalty in this case for what we would consider a fairly trivial offense. Okay? Let's look at a couple of, let's look at least one passage in the New Testament to confirm the fact that homosexuality is a sin. That's Romans chapter 1. Here we have both male homosexuality and lesbianism addressed. Romans chapter 1. Men refuse to honor God as God, they've refused to thank Him. Their thinking became futile, their foolish hearts were darkened, and they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women. Now, notice that. Even their women. It's almost as though, well, I'll come back to this in a minute. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what they ought not to be, to do what ought not to be done. They've become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. Okay, notice that? Where do we get that? From God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Okay, now, we see that nothing changes in theory between Old and New Testament. Okay, nothing changes in theory. Homosexuality is still condemned, and in the Old Testament, because you had the political structure to do it, homosexuality carried the death penalty. In the church, that is in the middle of the Roman Empire, with the church having no temporal authority, right, what happens is the church simply, the worst the church can do is excommunicate someone, but they should do so in the full knowledge that the person they're excommunicating for this behavior, if they're not repentant, deserves to die. Okay, now, why? All right. Okay, well, how come? Before we address that, back up to 26, the thing I was going to comment before. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts, even their women. Homosexuality is more of, more of a perversion for women than men. In other words, women are farther away from it than men. One of the things that is remarkable about the gay community is it's the incredible promiscuity, mind-boggling promiscuity. But that is primarily characteristic of the male homosexual community. In the lesbian community, there is, things aren't great there. You know, obviously things aren't good. But there's more faithfulness to partners. There's more, there's less promiscuity than you have in the male homosexual community. Okay, now, and you get this glimpse, even their women. In other words, Paul is not all that surprised that men get into this pattern of behavior, but he's saying things get so bad that even the women have been affected. Okay, we see the same thing going on in our culture. Whether it's pornography or, years ago, you'd have men go to see strippers, but now women do too. You had pornography for men, but now you have pornography for women. In other words, it's getting this way, even the women. We think, well, that's so harsh. That's, And so final, why does God take this so seriously? What is the big deal? Well, there are several things to point out. One is that God does not give commands that make no sense. Right? God does not give nonsensical commands. Now, there are many, many things that we read in the Scriptures, and at one time were not understood. Okay, now we understand them. Now, that does not mean that... let me back up a little further. God designed the human race, and He created the human race, male and female. In other words, there's a certain design built into the very framework. Now, when that design is violated, it's going to have negative consequences. Some of them just bad consequences, some of them disastrous consequences. Okay? Homosexual behavior that is regularly practiced is nothing less than a full-fledged assault on the ecology of the body. You're using the body for something it was not designed to do. Right? Because of that, you are going to have problems health-wise yourself. But a society that tolerates that, and it becomes more and more widespread, pretty soon you're going to have widespread problems in the society. It's going to break outside the bounds of the gay community into the heterosexual community that tolerates the gay community. Okay? Now, notice here what Paul is saying. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men. Now, what non-homosexuals tend to do is they meet someone who is homosexual, right? And they're mildly shocked, and this person, you know, combs his hair and speaks English. And just a person. And then we say, well... And your stereotype, you managed to be against it because you had a stereotype in your mind that was not factual. And you meet this person that's just, as far as you're concerned, just a regular person, or you are assaulted with a barrage of propaganda and TV, movies, books, with people who are this and this and this and also happen to be gay. You know, it's just an incidental fact about them. They're just another person. This is just another way of doing things. Now, at one level, homosexual behavior is nonsensical, and at the next level, it is perverse and indecent. Okay? The nonsensical level can be illustrated very simply. Nuts and bolts work together. Somebody would have trouble on an IQ test if they couldn't figure out how nuts and bolts were designed to work. In other words, if they put all the nuts together and all the bolts together, and they didn't realize that they were designed to come together and fit together, they're not able to figure something out that's plain on the face of it. All right? Another example is if you gave a Martian a copy of Grey's Anatomy, right, and he just had nothing to do with human society, he took Grey's Anatomy back to Mars, he would be able to figure out what was designed to go where and how and why. In other words, just a physiological fact. It's the facts of life, right? Now, you say, well, that's just plain logic. Where's the perversion? Why is it that we don't just attribute it to these people being a little bit slow, right? And they wouldn't do very well on IQ tests, and they wouldn't figure out that nuts and bolts go together, right? The reason is obvious again. The people that do this are, like we said before, people like you and me. And many of them are slow, many of them are very intelligent. In other words, it's not a matter of gray matter. It's not a matter of intelligence about the world. What it is a moral difficulty that has affected their application of intelligence in this one particular area. Now, That goes back to verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, their morality, or rather their immorality, produced the futility of thinking. In other words, it's obvious that men aren't supposed to sleep with men, and it's obvious that women aren't supposed to sleep with women. But they cannot see that in their thinking because of a rebellion against God, a refusal to thank God. Now, that refusal to thank God, that refusal to honor God, is always going to result in this kind of perversion and worse. Okay? Now, in verse 27, last part of 27, it says, men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. This goes back to what I said about homosexual behavior being an assault on the ecology of the body. The body is not designed to function that way. Now, not only are they receiving in themselves the due penalty for the perversion, but they receive in themselves, well, the penalty they receive in themselves is then transmitted rapidly through the gay community because of the promiscuity. And then there is a possibility of it getting outside the homosexual community. Now, in order to understand this, one of the things you have to get a firm grip of is that people have been lied to systematically about the whole thing. Okay, it's just, they're lied to, and it's hidden from people what is actually done and what is actually involved, what diseases are possible and why. Give you some examples, not to gross you out, but to help you see that this teaching here is accurate. And what you hear day to day, whether it's in classes at the university or in the newspaper, is just simply fallacious. Well, for example, we are familiar with AIDS, right, being one example of this and how widespread AIDS is in the homosexual community. And somehow people thinking, well, this is just a quirk of fate, you know, like sickle cell anemia in black people. They say, well, it's just the same sort of thing. Instead of linking it to their behavior, they link it to, well, we're just a minority group and these things happen sometimes. Well, that's not the way it is at all. There's a direct correlation between the behavior and the disease. The homosexual community has, incidentally, heterosexual promiscuity is a little bit better, but not much. You know, there are a lot of diseases that come with that. But the homosexual community, and I'm just going to be listing a few, has difficulties with syphilis, with gonorrhea, with hepatitis B, with AIDS. Right? Now, what do you do about this? Well, when you come to understand, why is this? What is this? You know, how come? You know, why do married people not have to worry about married people who are faithful to each other not have to worry about venereal disease? They don't. Why? Because that's the way it was designed to work. It's very simple. That's the way it was designed to work when you sleep with a bunch of women. That's not how it's designed to work. When you sleep with a man as though he were a woman, that's not how it's designed to work, and there are going to be negative consequences. If I tried to build put something together by putting the nuts together and the bolts together, it wouldn't stand. If I take a car and put gas in the gas tank, water in the gas tank because it's cheaper than gas. It is cheaper and I'm saving money for a short while, but my car won't run. It's going to break down. It just won't work. Coming back to using the body or abusing the body in a way that hurts the body, it is not surprising that, for example, in the homosexual community with men, you have anal intercourse. That's not what the intestinal tract was built for. It wasn't. Okay. Another example, which is oral anal sex, okay, which is gross, to say the least. Now, that is going to produce disease, right? There's a contaminated area. That's not what God built it for. Right? God built it to dispose of waste, not to treat in this way. Now let's get to what do we do. Okay, now those are just a couple of examples of things that are done that are not just mixed up, but unclean. Okay? Not just logically silly, but perverse, and perverse at an intellectual level, but also perverse at the level of hygiene and cleanliness. Okay? Now, if people were told, a young homosexual who had AIDS said something basic like this, "I was told that sex was liberating, and more sex was more liberating." That's what I was told. Sex was liberating, more sex was more liberating. You are constantly drummed in your head that sex is a natural thing, and it is, within certain confines, okay? And outside those confines, it's not natural at all. It's an abuse of nature. And the more you abuse nature, the more nature is going to have its revenge. It's just going to come back at you. You just can't get away with it. Now, what do you do when, let me just put it to you in very blunt terms. I would not go and eat, well, I won't say absolutely, but I'd have a hard time going and eating at a restaurant in San Francisco. Okay? Now, the reason is, you've got, according to a survey, I forget which one it was, about 40% of the single men in San Francisco are gay. About 40% of the single men in San Francisco are gay, rapidly catching up with Sodom, if they haven't surpassed it already. Now, when you learn something about what gay men do, it's not just a matter of a man and a woman making love, but when you learn what they do and how they do it, and then you ask, well, what do they do in their profession? For example, if someone is a gay man and he's a food handler, right? What are the chances of certain diseases breaking out of the homosexual community via that route? Good. If someone handles food, if someone works in the medical profession, if someone donates blood, you know, if they handle, you know, work in daycare centers, working with young kids, right now I'm not even speaking of the role model argument. I'm not just talking about the moral aspect of it. I'm just talking about the physical health threat to everybody. Okay, now, if we discover that our society is headed for an odd crossroads, when they discover that if you feed a laboratory rat the equivalent of 13 cases a day of something with saccharin in it, and it'll get cancer, and deduce that you'll get cancer if you drink 13 cases a day, our society is not afraid at all to regulate it or put warnings or, you know, that sort of thing. In the old days, if you got some communicable disease, you'd have somebody quarantine your house. Okay, you'd say, you all stay in there, right? Because the society was acting legitimately in self-defense, right? Saying, we're going to quarantine you off. Now, at that stage, that was something everybody was willing to live with. Nobody looked down on people for happening to catch some disease. They just acted in self-defense. But because this is not a disease that originates, it's not a disease that happens by accident. It's diseases that come from a certain ideology, a certain way of thinking, and a certain way of behaving, and these people are pressing for their behavior to be protected by law. In other words, the thrust of the gay rights movement is to get homosexuality included in the Civil Rights Act, so that it is impossible for me to discriminate against a black, for example, in hiring. Right? That would also make it impossible for me to discriminate against a homosexual in hiring. When, if that came about, the Democratic Party is committed to including homosexuality as a protected minority. In other words, including homosexuality under the Civil Rights Act. Okay, now think for a moment what that would mean on two levels. Right? One, on the moral level, you know, you've got a junior high school student in the, you know, in school, and the teacher's homosexual, and you say, well, do I want my son or daughter exposed to this person as a role model? Right? That's your moral argument, and that's a good one. But suppose you've got a diner somewhere, okay, and you're serving people hamburgers, and you turn down someone for being because they're homosexual because of what you consider to be the health risk. Let's suppose you're not even a Christian. You're just a stickler for hygiene. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you, unlike most people, are informed about what is done and how the risks are much, much greater of transmitting disease. And now what do you do? If homosexuality is a protected minority, there's nothing you can do. You're breaking the law if you discriminate against a homosexual, even if you have a good reason. Yeah, it comes back to the law. What do you do in your legal code? How do you approach this? Now, I think there are a number of things that we've looked the other way, we've not become educated, and then we are shocked and dismayed at certain things that happened in the Old Testament. Why did God command the obliteration of the Canaanites? For example, that has that ever troubled you?
Yeah.
You know, well, women and children, even animals. Okay. Now, one of the reasons I believe God did this was because of the widespread perversion, I mean, almost universal perversion, the impossibility of reversing it, and the necessity of removing it. Okay, in other words, God removed Sodom and Gomorrah and the three surrounding cities directly. He removed, I believe, the Canaanites for similar reasons, just with a different means of doing it. Yeah, because of the morality, the physical threat and physical danger is a very present and a very real thing. For example, when God is promising, giving the promised land to Abraham, he says this is going to happen down the road some years because the iniquity of the Amalekites is not yet full. In other words, God says the Amalekites are not yet gross enough, are not yet bad enough to evict them from the land. Okay, they're not bad enough yet. So it's very clear that when the Israelites come in and take out the Canaanites, they are doing something that had to be done, all right, morally and for health reasons. Now, that is my supposition, that the moral contamination results in physical. The way you cleansed yourself in the Old Testament tabernacle worship was you went out to some running water and took a bath. It wasn't just a sort of omni-domini sprinkle you and you're ceremonially clean. That's not what was meant by ceremonial cleanliness. What was meant by ceremonial cleanliness was scrubbing down. All right. I believe it's fairly clear that the Old Testament sacrificial system produced the two basic ingredients of soap, animal lard and wood ash. Okay. Two basic ingredients necessary to the manufacture of soap are produced by the sacrifice of animals. At one point, they're told to take the remains of the sacrifice out to a place outside the camp, and it's not an unclean place, it's a clean place, and the Israelites are to go out to this place where the wood ash and the animal remains were taken in order to wash there to make themselves clean. In Hebrews, it says the ashes of a heifer cleanse people so that they are outwardly clean. Right? In other words, it was physical cleanliness. God tells the people, if you obey my commands, I will visit on you none of the diseases of Egypt. There's just not a doubt in my mind that God wants his people to be clean. I believe that cleanliness is next to godliness. Now, homosexuality is just another way of being filthy, just another way of being dirty, just another way of communicating the diseases that accompany it from one person to another. If a society outlaws homosexuality and it knows what it is outlawing, it can legitimately do so in self-defense. And you say, we just don't want to have it. We should discriminate against homosexuals in certain professions. We should not deny them their civil rights. In other words, if a homosexual is accused of murder, they should have a right to counsel. And you know, in other words, you're not taking away their civil rights. But what you are doing is saying your behavior, which you are voluntarily engaging in, is a threat to yourself, your immediate community, and the larger community. When you learn about what homosexual behavior involves, particularly with men, for example, when you know, in San Francisco, when they closed down the bathhouses, they did so because they were health threat. In other words, San Francisco is not the sort of place to be moralizing, right? But they shut down the bathhouses. A judge ordered that they be reopened, but required that the managers of the bathhouses inspect every 10 minutes all the different people in different rooms to make sure that the sexual behavior was not of a certain kind because of the health problem. Now, obviously, that's not going to be an enforceable problem, but when you're talking about these bathhouses and the contacts, for example, 10 sexual contacts a night, 10 different ones a night, are not unusual. They're not unheard of. In other words, it's a promiscuity run amok. It's just, it's crazy. And you're crazy if you think that that's not going to cause serious problems to the person involved and health problems, not to mention moral problems, but also pose a threat to the society. It's got to be dealt with, it's got to be restricted, and it's got to be restrained. Okay. Now, if we deal with homosexuality by just the people that we know that are gay, and you know, we say, well, they're an ordinary person just like I am, of course you should have compassion on them. Of course Christ died for them, and of course you love them like a person. But that shouldn't change your knowledge of how great the perversion is and why it's a perversion. So someone who thinks this way is not someone with an irrational fear of homosexuality. It's not an irrational fear at all. It's a very rational approach to it. Okay? One other comment on the Canaanites. When the Midianites, I think it was the Midianites, when Balaam advised Balak, is Midian or Moab? Let me check. Maybe it was Moab. Well, whoever it was, when all the women at Balaam's advice went into the Israelite camp and started sleeping with the Israelite men, thousands of Israelite men died, I think because of some virulent strain of venereal disease. You know, and I believe things in Canaan were so bad that the only way to deal with it was through extermination. You know, it was so far gone that everything was, and to the animals, everything. It's just awful. Now, the one thing is the babies, obviously, that were killed were not morally guilty for what society they were born into. And I believe God in his judgment, just like a baby in Sodom that died, went straight to heaven. I don't have a problem with that. The Israelites were simply the instrument of God to judge a people who had allowed themselves to get a society that had gotten past the point of no return. There's just no way the society could be brought back up. Let's thank the Lord. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this time together. I pray that you give us a better understanding of how these perversions come about so that we can be an effective counter to that. In Jesus' name, amen.